Welcome, everybody, once again to another Face Rocker podcast. I'm Freddie.
Are we doing the we introduce ourselves thing? Is that the thing?
Are we going clockwise or counterclockwise?
There were 17.
You got a point. Point at who's next.
Wait, no, I don't like the I gotta introduce myself thing. If you're gonna do the intro, just do the intro.
No, because they have to hear your voice to connect it with your
really
name.
Quickly, may I make a suggestion? Freddie says all our names, but when he says our name,
hey.
Also says one thing he likes about us.
Oh, come on. And this is kindergarten?
Wait. And one thing he thinks we need to still
improve. No, let's do this. Freddie says, I'm Freddie. The three of us each say one thing we like about Freddie. Then Des says, this is Des.
We're going to be here.
And then we each say one thing we like about
Freddie.
Let's start it.
Okay.
Say your name.
This is the Face Rocker Podcast. I'm Freddie.
Professional.
Sweet glasses.
Shit, that was mine, Des. Shut up.
Come on, you got a riff. Go, go.
There's sweet squared times infinity, Des, so fuck you.
Okay, so let me just
hey,
let me
no,
just,
no, it's Dez's turn.
Wait, I just want to review real quick. Matt had a personality trait. Dez had a thing that I bought that I wear on my face. And Logan had nothing.
Freddie, wonderful. I think your hair is so straight.
Okay, straight hair. Wonderful. Logan, go ahead.
My name's Logan.
Story worthy.
I have to comment on the hair. It's excellent.
Thank you.
Unique.
So did I tell you guys not to make this all about me? Did I tell you guys what my nickname is for people at work who don't know my name?
No.
It's Mini Thor. I look like Thor, but I'm also really short. So anyways, that's me.
Matt.
Matt. Are we gonna do things that Freddie can improve upon?
Oh, we're doing more?
Oh my gosh.
I think we've killed the shit out of this segment.
Yeah.
Move on.
This is Matt and this is Dez over there. Dez, say hi.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Wait. So Matt, what's one thing that you like about yourself? I'm just gonna send it back to you.
You know what? Honestly, not much.
Matt, this got heavy. This is really, yeah, welcome to the Face Rocker podcast.
Matt, I like that you're humble.
Oh, well, thank you.
I like that you're down to earth.
I don't hear that often.
And you got a great smile. Dez, you got a great smile too, man.
Oh, thanks. Hey,
Freddie.
Hey, thanks.
Your smile ain't bad either. Freddie, what are we talking about today, bro?
This week on a very feel-good episode of the Face Rocker Podcast. As you can tell, we are joined once again by Logan, fresh off a futurist podcast that he just recorded. So thank you, Logan.
Am I here every week
around.
Or am I the special
yeah,
guest?
Yeah, is this joined
week?
Or is he just...
Am I just
well,
here?
Logan,
he's a member, just occasionally he doesn't show up.
Logan's a recurring cast member.
Am I additive or subtractive?
Yo, you're definitely additive in a number of ways. So a couple things. Number one, so we were playing back the podcast. We are now on the iTunes feeds, by the way. So if you're getting this from the website and you would rather get it from iTunes, check out the link on the page you're probably listening to this from. We're syndicated on iTunes. All of our podcasts are on iTunes if you just search Rocket Jump or Face Rocker or whatever. So if you're into iTunes, check that out. We were listening back to the old episodes, and Dez heard the intro music, which was a piece of music that I wrote for...
Did you write it?
Yeah, it was
oh,
for...
Oh, no, I feel bad.
It was for the Roller Coaster Day, first Roller Coaster Day video. I cranked it out, to be fair. And Dez had very disparaging comments about it, so I think that calls for a contest, if you will.
I think it was like a polite, like, is that our final... Music? Like, kind of first, and Freddie said yes.
No,
he's like, because it sucks.
No, what is this crap?
Well,
was the quote.
I was actually taken aback by how defensive you got, but now that you're explaining,
Here's what I'm surprised about was because, Des, you've been on these podcasts, and this has been the same music for 20 episodes.
Newsflash. I'm sitting in the podcast. I don't have another extra 2 hours to throw down listening to the podcast over again.
Really quickly, this is the original podcast music?
Like yes,
from the very first one?
From the very first one, yeah.
I think we should at least, if you're going to have a contest, it has to be a cover of that music then, right? It has to be like the Doctor Who theme, where it's it's dubstep. Dubstep version.
Okay, so here's the challenge then to anybody listening. We are taking submissions for... replacements for the Face Rocker podcast intro music. It can be a remix. It could be the dubstep version. Probably extra points because Logan will probably like the dubstep version. But if you want to throw that down, send it to us, tweet it to us. Our Twitter accounts are in the description below on our site, rocketjump.com. And Yes, Logan.
It should be noted that I have no say in this, so do not make it a dubstep remix, because I will probably not hear a single fucking one of these, including the one that is used. So the one that we pick,
we'll send a whole swag bag of stuff to.
Well, I think we should play the first and second runners up as well, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll do a whole thing next time. Okay, probably, it'll be a couple weeks or so.
Are we ever going to do like a live stream from like the LA Live Center?
Yep. Why would you want to do it from LA Live specifically?
I've just booked LA Live.
Thank you, Des.
I just tweeted at him. So that's going to happen.
So the other thing I wanted to bring up, and this is something I guess Matt was talking about. Matt, you got into an argument about 48 frames a second on the Twitterverse recently.
Twitter sphere,
and could you tell us a little bit about this?
About 48 frames per second or the argument?
I want to hear about the argument.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't much of an argument. Just somebody said, hey,
it was somebody.
Frames.
Was it somebody?
Actually, it was a guy from
small?
IGN. And now I feel bad because I forget his name and he followed me afterwards. He's some IGN film guy. But it was just like very absolutist. It was just like 48 frames per second sucks. Like, it's over. Like, that's
and
not
you're,
the future.
You're,
oh,
are
he
you
said
pro?
It's not cinema. I'm not pro because I didn't like it as much as Freddie did. Even. I didn't like 48 that much in The Hobbit. I thought it didn't look great most of the time. But I think it's just another tool like any other tool on film, whether it's color or shutter speed or anything. And obviously we use it in season 2. All the videos.
What?
All the videos. You didn't know this?
Why the fuck would I know?
So, but what we're doing.
Logan and I catch up on the post process every evening. I fill in the blanks.
So what we did was, but this is what we're doing, is that all the video game sequences, all the action sequences, we filmed in 48, and everything else is 24, and we're doing mixed frame rates in the show. So we're actually running the show at 48, but all the 24/7 is just double frames.
Yeah. Matt's talking about season 2 of Video Game High School, by the way.
So whenever we cut into the game, it's a subtle, and we tested like how it looks cutting back and forth between them. You don't, they're like, they showed me a clip, I didn't even realize it was in 48. Like, you know, it's not a weird, jarring experience when it cuts, but it kind of gives the video game sequences
more video gamey.
Yeah, it's a little hyper-real. Sure. It's pretty cool.
Right, well, the big complaint against 48 is, oh, it looks so much like a video game. And it's like, well, perfect. That's exactly what we were looking for.
Also, video games run at 60 frames per second. But the guy's statement was, it's not cinema. And I was like, 24 frames per second isn't the definition of cinema. One, then every single anime is not cinema. That's all 15 frames per second. It's just an arbitrary number that was discovered in the first place.
I agree. Well, oh, by the way, I finally realized why it's 24. Because I was thinking about it. I'm like, why is it not 23? Why is it not 25? This is stupid. You want to know why it's 24 specifically? In addition to being probably, apocryphally, they say it's the lowest frame rate where it doesn't flicker and cause nausea, which is crap because I'm sure 23 is close enough. I'm sure 22 is also close enough. 24 is in that range and has the most divisors. So it can be halved, quartered, thirded, you know, really cleanly. So it divides up really easily. That's why. So I figured it out.
Yeah, it's an arbitrary number. If the very first...
Well, it wasn't arbitrary. Freddie just said why it wasn't an arbitrary number.
Matt comes in. This arbitrary number, which has no mathematical properties whatsoever.
But why does it matter if it can be halved?
Well, so you can do like a half, you know, so if it's like 24 frames a second, you can do a half second cut, which is 12 frames.
Not that's completely arbitrary, but also just judging things on a second is completely arbitrary because a second is nothing other than...
You mean the decay of a cesium atom?
It's just a creation of time that we created.
Is based on now it is based on the decay of a cesium atom, I believe.
Well, anyways,
what's a cesium?
What's a cesium?
Yeah,
it's an element.
Really, I've never heard about that one. Is that one of the new ones?
Periodic table. What is it?
The periodic table of elements. What are we talking about?
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Anyways, what's your guys' takes on 48 frames a second?
Well, have you seen Hobbit in 48?
Nah, I don't do that shit.
What is it? Wait, hold on.
What's
back that
shit?
Up? What do you mean by I don't do that shit?
That fucking Tolkien bullshit. Like, I do the books. I'm a reader. I like to fucking read my Tolkien. I like to fucking read those elven languages. Don't like to fucking hear them.
So I won't watch it.
So you've never seen Lord of the Rings?
That's not, that's what turned me off to it. To be quite honest with you.
Matt, by the way, so loves sad. Lord of the Rings, right, Matt?
Yeah, but he also loves Joss Whedon, so we just don't see eye to eye sometimes.
Yeah, we don't agree on those things.
Oh, man. So I really like the look of 48 and with the 3D, and it's something different. And it was kind of weird because at first I had this kind of weird Benny Hill speed up effect. And I don't know what that's from. I don't know if that's necessarily how your brain's interpreting it. What I'm really curious about is I think this is what you gotta do is you gotta take 48 and you gotta show it to people who aren't familiar with cinema,
Uncontacted natives, like the Amazon,
the Amish, or the typical teenage boy, you know, who aren't familiar with the 24 equals X. You know, like if you showed them 48, like what is their response to that? Is it like, oh, this is so lifelike, or is it like I can't get into it?
Is change worth it if people who have never seen cinema likes 48, and then everybody who is used to 24 has to deal with the transition, and then you get into 48. And if the effect is essentially non, it's just you're just used to it anyways, and it doesn't change anything. Is it worth moving up to 48?
Here's the thing. So, first of all, to answer your qualm in the most like quick basis, not thought through way possible. Everybody who's seen 24, if we switch to 48 today, will die pretty. Like they'll die.
No, I agree.
Fine. So
that was just a question.
But let's blow it out a little bit further there. Nobody goes around. If you close one eye right now, so let's even get rid of the stereoscopic issue. If you close one eye right now, nobody's going to complain about reality looking like a video game, right?
True.
Yes. I don't think anybody's like, wow, it looks like a video game now that I close an eye.
I like that Frey's just focusing all these cameras on himself. It's the most fucking...
You have this one on you.
Well, but here's the thing, though. But you're assuming that your eye works like a camera does. It's not necessarily true that it...
Hold
updates.
The phone, bro, Steph. So there's a lot of fucking things going on, right? Okay. And honestly, so in our Futurism podcast, we had a visual... If we're going to talk about 48 frames per second, we should have had our visual display computer scientist expert here.
Not crap.
Huh?
So that's really? So angry, like we fucked up.
God damn it.
That's our fault. Sorry, Logan.
Well, had him on the phone earlier, too.
If you knew you were going to talk about this, this dude is a virtual reality expert. And virtual reality's sole purpose is to make it look like reality. At least if we're going to talk about visuals. And so there's more than just frame rate involved with that, right? There's going to be contrast ratio. There's going to be field of view.
Yep.
Is there anything else
resolution?
I'm missing?
Well, real quick, resolution. I'm getting a little bored of this, but you mentioned virtual reality, and I was thinking about Lawnmower Man the other day, and it's one of your favorite movies, isn't it?
That was a weird... I got to just call it out. What was that transition? I don't like this. Let's talk about this movie
years. That's Freddy freaking out. This is boring. But but podcasts are slow burn. Slow burn. Hey, everybody.
I'm down with the burn, Logan.
Enjoy it.
I am.
Take it in.
Taken.
Yeah. So, anyways, do you want to talk about Lawnmower Man? Or you want to talk about fucking reality?
Can we live in a reality where we do both? Can that happen?
What it comes down to is I think the issue here is that we're in an uncanny valley of reality where we're still trying to find analogies to other forms of media. But if you get that frame rate up to a certain point, and you get contrast up to a certain point, and you get field of view up to a certain point, at a certain point, it's going to look indistinguishable from
reality.
But
there's a question, and this is, again, from a guy who just filmed something in 48, so it's not, you know, aside of my judgment.
I kind
of
know.
No, it's not a judgment on 48 or not. These are just questions. But it's also, is the purpose of cinema to look real? Which, obviously, the moment people still go back to black and white, or
you're asking about impressionism. This is the impressionism as well.
Which is why I thought 48 would be interesting. I don't think it worked for The Hobbit, actually, but I think I'd love to see Michael Mann do 48. Like, do Collateral in 48, something shot on location and supposed to feel... real and 48.
I think the answer to your question, if I may, is that yes, it can be, but it is not an absolute.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's just like a tool
painting,
like any other.
Right?
Tool.
Well, it's like painting, you know. So the impressionism was, hey, maybe we should stop painting everything photorealistic because the camera's coming and is better at that than us. So let's start painting weird, crazy, abstract things.
So what is the if camera is to film as blank is to film?
I think it's just weird. Good job, Logan.
Logan, real quick, how did you do on the SAT verbal section? Just curious.
Overall, I got a 1,500.
Nice.
For our listeners, that's going to sound like a fucking delinquent score.
Yeah, because like
this is back when it was out of 1,600. So, what it came down to is the head of SAT wrote me personally and went, bro, you're a genius.
No, it didn't. No.
Of course not, but you said that like you fucking believed me. No, of course not.
Wait, I didn't get that note. What, they give you a note? This bullshit, man.
So they have this book called 10 Real SATs, which was like a practice test thing. They had 10 real SATs in it. And I remember one of the math questions was, if you wrote out the numbers from 1 to 100, and so if you wrote the numbers from 1 to 100 on a piece of paper, how many times would you write the number 9?
4.
No, it's incorrect.
What?
The digit 9 or the number 9?
The digit 9.
Logan's upset.
Okay. So I was doing through it, and I was like, okay. So by the way, real quick, it's a good listeners at home play along. So I was thinking, okay, well, there's obviously 9, 19, 29, blah, blah. But then
it's
you get
10 plus 90,
the 91. 90. But then 99 counts for 2. So I put the answer down, and I went to the back. I'm like, all right, I got it, nailed it. And they were wrong. They forgot 99 counted as 2, and I just took the book, and I just threw it away. It's like, I can't trust anything out of this now.
So the real question is, if that was a real SAT, well, there is a certain, like, do you think if that was the real SAT, they would have been correct? Like, do they fact check the SAT?
No, I don't think so. I think that's the thing. I saw it and I realized I would have gotten it wrong even though was correct.
Wasn't there a YouTube video of a talk of a show where that happened, like a trivia show? The guys gave the answer and said, sorry, sir, you've lost your $400,000. And he's like, no, I'm right. I'm absolutely right. And in fact, it was like a UK show and they fact checked and they had to apologize for it. But I just dropped my beer. But what's amazing is there's complete confidence. It wasn't a single halt. He's like, okay, you guys are wrong. That's fine. We'll deal with this later.
That's awesome.
I'm absolutely right. That's okay.
So maybe this is a chance to blow this out either into Lawnmower Man or standardized testing.
Two of the most anticipated topics on the Face Tracker podcast.
Film is left in the dust.
Yeah.
What?
The 48 discussion.
Yeah, it's gone.
Well, I guess.
Was there more to say about it? When it comes down to it.
Well, we didn't sum up the story, I guess.
Yeah. Long story short, we shot VJHS's action scenes in 48 frames a second. We're working with like YouTube to try and figure out a way of displaying it 48 because that's another question entirely. And hopefully it'll be interesting and people will think it's cool. And 48 is not bad. But I got into such hilarious debates with people about film and 48. I got into this debate with this guy about. It was not really a debate. It was just him sort of like yelling at me about how since digital is of inferior quality to film, that digital is ruining all of cinema. Like he took the hardline stance of like digital is killing all of cinema and movies will be ruined entirely.
I feel like art cultures have various like stages of development. So like, you know, novels are what they are. People write novels. There's no discussion. And I feel like video games are at that very young stage where they're like, oh, we're art. You know, we got to defend ourselves all the time. And I feel like movies just got their art status like in the last like 30 years from the 70s. And they're incredibly, now they're the old man's on the lawn and they're incredibly defensive. It's like the film bloggers are the people who are most anti-video games.
Yep.
And they're the most anti-growth of the technology of their own fucking medium that they talk about. Like the number one people against 48 frames per second are these film bloggers and mm-hmm. film academics are like, oh, the magic of film, you can't possibly change 24 frames per second. It's how cinema is made. There's no possible tools we can use anymore. Like people have been craftsmen for hundreds of years now. Like we just got to a point where we can be art. How dare they? And it's like, what? Technology is going to kill film? Technology? Film's always been technology. It started as a technology. It's not, if you want to do quote unquote true art, it's Film was not even considered art up until like the 40s or 50s, if that. Like it's not an art tour. There's hundreds of people working on it. It's technology based. It's a very strange defensive like mode a lot of those bloggers are in.
I love that you're like literally jumping decades as to when film became an art. You're like the 70s, the 40s, the 50s.
No, the 70s like... is when the 70s is this, you know, the 70s, you know, where mainstream Hollywood suddenly shifted. And in response to the shitstorm that was the 60s from the big studios and stuff like that, 70s is kind of what's thought of as whatever. Like, I wasn't around in the 70s, so you watch those films. But that's when One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and all those films up until Heaven's Gate essentially killed that. If you want to blame Heaven's Gate, I don't think it is. But that's when it turned into postmodernism in 1977 with Star Wars and stuff like that. But that time period is when big stream mainstream Hollywood was kind of accepted by like high art standards. That's like, okay, film's high art now, if you could call it that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day for us, it's like we don't care. So
yeah,
we're just
going to
continue doing stuff. So I don't know why you want to be engaging on a debate with me, Mr. I think 35 million. I think the guy was arguing that the movie camera system, that new gyroscopic camera system thing, is completely useless because it could not support a film camera. Therefore, it is a completely useless piece of technology.
Well, it's just a strange idea that film, you, dude? Film is technology. It's like this weird, like digital is not magical, man. Digital technology is like the
and
camera
is
a new piece of it's amazing. A camera is amazing. It's a piece of technology, no different than a computer. It just
mechanical.
Happened a little
it's
bit
mechanically
early.
Intense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So what do you think drives that mentality? You guys have to deal with it a bunch. I never have to deal with ludologists. That's something that I am divorced from. So what do you think motivates that mindset?
What mindset?
The mindset of people getting really obsessed over specific technological either innovations or changes and getting really vehement about their opinions.
I feel like people define, as a common thing, I think it's very similar to that problem with like console fanboys, stuff like that. I feel like people define themselves often by what they like or what they're passionate about, mm-hmm. and people don't like to change, so you don't like to be told like, hey dude, like you drink too much, or hey dude, like you should work out more.
Tonight.
You know? And the idea of you're like, I'm a film guy. I love film. This is what I like. And then all of a sudden they come out and they start changing stuff. You don't want to change, even if you're like 30 and you start defining yourself as that. Just like you don't want to be like, I just spent $300 on PlayStation. I love Sony. Be like, hey, dude, maybe there's better games elsewhere. Oh, fuck you. Mm-hmm. No way there's better games elsewhere.
Yeah, it's the sort of sunk cost thing. Well, the other thing, too, is I think film specifically gets emotional reaction, you know, just because of the nature of the medium. So when you, it's like associating emotional reactions with the whole thing. So as a result, when someone attacks that thing, they're not attacking just that piece of technology. They're attacking your emotional reaction to it, the veracity of what you felt. Mm-hmm. So it's almost it's the same thing as like the Disneyland purists, right? There are people who are like, oh man, Disneyland, it's all about, you know, the old rides, the original rides, and the way that, you know, that they did things, and these new rides are not, you know, as good. But I think it's because they're speaking less to what's the experience of the new generation and more to my experience was so good, I want to preserve my experience throughout all of time.
I think there's a difference because one of those is consumer, and I think the people you guys talk to are aspiring production people. By and large, right? Would that be fair to say?
I honestly could not tell you. It's a mix. I couldn't tell you.
We have a lot of sort of filmmaker types, and we also have a lot of people who
are pure consumers.
Are just, yeah, they don't care. They don't really do camera stuff. They think it's interesting. Now, that's the side of it that I hear a lot. It's like, oh, I think it's really cool to see the behind the scenes, but they're not sitting there being like, I want to do this, and this is how I'm learning. It's more, that's just really cool to know.
Because when you talk about the Disneyland purist thing, that's a far more content IP-centric one, and it's a lot more about the spirit of the characters and the stories, and you're hurting my childhood, as opposed to the 48 frames per second or film versus digital, which is a much more technological driven conversation. And I think a lot of that actually stems from people who approach filmmaking not as an artistic medium, but as a craft and technological medium, which I think specifically your guys' audience is visual effects driven folks who aren't creative in that they can come up with great story and characters or can think of a great way to arrange a shot, but who really understand the technology behind it from that.
They should be more open to the changes in technology in 48, if that's the case.
But this is a similar mindset that you see to like cinematographers who are a very, you know, they look at it as a craft. It's the craft of cinematography, and it's a very technical undertaking that they've, you know, put themselves under. And it's
well, is
it's
it like not a, also a fear of just death in general? Because when
I think
we discuss the
let's blow this one out.
No, hold on. Because when we talk about 48, 24, then we get into archival methods, and ultimately, if you take it to the furthest conclusion point. We're talking about the death of, you know, film essentially in and of itself. You know, you cannot sustain an industry where you make, you know, celluloid and you can process the film and you can archive the film. We're talking about switching over to digital and thus the death of this thing that we've had and that we love and that we've studied and we've spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on going to school and learning about, you know, and then that thing will come to an absolute end.
Yeah, and that's not outrageous, actually. Like, a lot of fear of change is based, it's kind of psychologically connected to the fear of death and mortality and things like that. And the thing is just, and the answer to that, unfortunately, is just fucking grow up. It's the same thing. You're scared of high school, or when you leave high school, it's like, oh, my friendships are dead. We're moving to different places. Like, well, that's life. It's not, they're not dead. They evolve. They transform into something else. And film is just a technology, and there's going to be other technologies that come out. And yes, because it's, despite what people want to pretend, it's not completely art-driven. It's a business. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's what you have to deal with film. Even people who do incredibly low-budget features, you have to deal with business. How can you afford a location or not? And digital is cheaper. And then you have all these articles coming out like, oh, it's not cheaper for archiving. It's cheaper. If it wasn't cheaper, not everybody would be shooting. We wouldn't shoot on digital if it wasn't cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper.
Yeah, so you know how it's cheaper? Because everyone's changing to it,
and
this is a business.
And the idea that film's dead to me, and I don't believe this. It's just a weird reaction. I don't believe that people don't love film, but it's a weird the knee jerk reaction that film's dead because it switches to digital feels like such a dismissal of what movie making is about. That's almost insulting. It's like, guys, movie making is about stories. Like whether it's shot in 16mm or digital, or whether or not it was a guy in his basement with a crappy DV camera, like. The story is there. It's the idea that once you switch this, movie making's dead. Is like, why did you get into movie? Like, my first response is honestly, you don't love movie making. You love the idea of either Hollywood or something else about it because that's not what it's about.
I have an interesting side example to that because I have a friend. friend of mine who likes reading, loves reading stories, essentially, right? And he really specifically looks for a certain book from a certain publisher because he likes the font spacing and the size of it. And I'm like, well, you know that it's like it's no different. He's like, yeah, I just prefer reading it this way. So it's like to me, it's like the same argument being like, if you somehow like made the font size half as big on this book, and then like all the more words basically per page, you being like, you know what, books are dead because this is the font size that everyone's using.
Yeah.
And the real font size is this spaced out Palantino, Garamond. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, like he has a very specific thing that he prefers, and he's not to that point. But it sounds like that same argument, which is like this is the content is still the same. The way it's displayed is different. You know?
Not to mention, besides the infuriating fact that you could just show pretty much every person who's ever tweeted me like film versus digital, you could put side by side digital and film, and 90% of them could not tell the difference.
Well, specifically with TwitPix, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just especially horrible. Since most of the time you're watching your film on a 1080p display.
I mean, I always do the dad test, which is like I went and saw Miami Vice with my parents when it first came out, which was shot like really crappy digital, super grainy. I'm like, what'd you think about, you know, that movie? And my dad's first response was like, yeah, that movie sucked. I don't really understand. Like, I didn't get it. He's on a boat and he's in Cuba and stuff. I'm like, okay, see, he wasn't sitting there being like, this movie sucked because God, it was like looked like a handicap. It's like, no, it sucked because Colin Farrell blows. And that
so
was
I would push back on you a little bit on that one. Because
but I'm saying it's the layman. It's the overall.
But the layman won't ever tell. I come from the game world. I don't come from movies, obviously, or at least not for a long time. And we don't expect somebody to be like, well, the gamer, like the feel of the interface was incorrect for X, Y, and Z reasons. They'll usually just be like, it was fun. It was not fun. And it's like, why was it not fun? They're like, because the characters were angry. And you're like, that's obviously not what caused that problem. You have to separate what people are saying as people who are not professionals in that industry,
right?
From what is the actual problem?
But that's like film specifically is such a populist medium. It's been used for propaganda tools. It's such a like mass consumption thing that what I'm saying is good enough for the general populace is what's going to be the baseline going forward.
But I think what Logan is saying, and I agree, and I feel like it's the difference between like. I mean, the difference between us and people watching movies is you're supposed to know, like, what is the subconscious effect of what you do. So a lot of times, like, people, you know, I'll explain, like, what was a problem I had with a movie. And I shouldn't do this for somebody who's not, like, a writer who just doesn't waste their life thinking about this stuff, but this is what I do. So I'll wasting my life. Yeah. I'll explain something, and they'll be like, oh, well, that didn't change anything. I had no effect on me. It's like, okay. It does. Like it does. They just don't, as you're saying, like they might not understand the gameplay mechanics going on be underneath it, but I've had people say like, oh, it doesn't matter if that scene's red or warm colored or stuff. There's no difference. It's like, well, of course there is. The person may respond, I like that scene and I didn't like that scene, and that difference between not liking a scene and liking a scene could be as simple as coverage, could be as simple as a change in temperature of the coloring of that.
That's too diametric. Mm-hmm. I think it's more, I like that scene, or I would have liked that scene even more. I would have been more emotionally involved.
You're right. I mean, obviously I'm putting it binary just for
also,
the sake of discussion.
Are
but
you
yeah.
sure that the person you're talking to wasn't colorblind? Because that would have no
too.
Effect whatsoever.
They would not have an effect on that. Which is interesting. I wonder how colorblind people see certain movies that are very...
What if it was a dog? That
they
you
wouldn't understand
to.
Any of it.
Because
why
Matt,
are
you talking
Matt,
to your
Matt,
dog?
Yeah, Matt's off and talking to his dogs. So
my dogs
your color thing reminds me of this is complete side note, but I think it's totally awesome. Did
Go
you hear about the construction tools disappearing issue and how they solved it? That's
what?
Incredibly nebulous.
Is any
just,
of this?
No.
Okay. Here's an issue. Hold on. Look, what are you talking about? I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna talk about, Freddie.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
No. And here's an example. Apparently, construction sites have an issue with their tools walking off.
Oh,
which
yeah.
makes sense, right?
Real quick. Like, real quick. Tools
your, dad, your dad's a construction site
Real quick. My
site
folks
guy.
Do home construction. They lose their tools maybe like once a year. Someone will come up who has a gate code or something and just walk off with it.
Hey, surprise, guys. I don't do home construction, and I lose my tools all the damn time. It's just a thing that happens to people who have tools.
So there's a difference between I lost my tools because I was fucking stoned, and I lost my tools because I'm filled with my workforce is filled with thieves.
It's the same as like losing socks, though, is it not? It has nothing to do with being stoned.
No, because it's subcontractors stealing it.
What is this problem? What is this problem, Logan? Explain it and answer it for us.
So that's the problem, is that when you hire a large contractor-based workforce who isn't master of fine arts level professionals, and you have, chances are they're going to start walking off with your stuff.
And you have a lot of things that are worth $200 each.
Yeah, sure.
Then they start walking
off
with it.
So they found a solution.
What is that? I need to tell my parents this.
It's coloring all their tools pink.
No.
Straight up. Straight up. Fucking pink hammers, pink drills.
That's amazing.
Fucking the most Barbie pink they could find.
No.
And nobody's walking off of them because they're like, I don't want this fucking pussy ass hammer.
That's amazing. Fun.
It's appealing to human psychology and the idiot psychology at the same time.
It's also, you then have to explain where you got that and why it's pink to everyone who ever
asks. You know, there's
asks.
One guy who's like, I want those pink hammers. That's like a beautiful set. This is going to fit fabulously with
this fucking closeted.
Oh,
like,
God. Oh,
carpenter. That's right, Des. That's great. it's going to go over great with our second market.
Yeah.
Because we have a second market.
Neither do I. What is that?
Our second market. Those people who pay less than those who pay
The second market's like the used market or the second use case. Fred, you got a topic? Because I got a topic.
Let's
if you don't got a topic.
I want to hear your topic.
I'm talking about homeopathic medicine.
Oh, come on.
This came from our discussion.
Did it?
We were talking about cold showers, and then I was laughing at
this. I tried your cold shower technique.
Let's reverse a second.
What is this cold shower technique?
We had a night where Logan was just informing us of all these wise new age medicines.
Air quotes, if you could see us right now, wise.
I also like these, like, yeah, cold showers are good for you, and I asked why? And he said, I don't know.
I Googled it, and the first response said, I think they're okay.
I had to Google it and then read stuff to him, and then he's like, retrospectively, he's like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I've been doing.
Well, so what is this cold shower thing?
So,
wait, weren't we discussing, like, it was like health and weight loss, and you brought up the shiver effect.
Yeah.
And now taking a cold shower.
Oh, yeah, it's coming back
can increase
in the vogue.
A caloric burn.
So, yeah, so the shiver effect is prompt. The shiver effect is the idea that you can lose weight or burn calories based on being cold.
Mm-hmm. And your body's heating itself
up. Yeah, and this is prompted, at least in its most recent incarnation, and by its most public figure, by somebody looking at Michael Phelps, who burns 12,000 calories a day.
And they looked at him and they said, okay, he is doing a lot of exercise, but that doesn't account for the fact that he's losing this many calories.
Yeah, exactly. And so they were like, okay, so what could it be? Oh, it's the fact that water drains your body heat, so he must be working overtime. And that's further backed up by the fact that, like, Siberian farmers burn, like, absurd amount of calories
a day. And
as
a quick side note there, I was actually at a, nerd presentation event last night, and the guy was talking specifically about that, and he mentioned...
That sounds awful.
Nerd presentation event.
Really quickly, I'm imagining just different nerds being marched out like horses and paraded on a leash.
Just like, more
it wasn't a nerd presentation, it was an event of nerd
and
presentations.
Look at this fucking nerd.
We have things to share with you.
It was like, it's like TED Talks, basically.
Was it
like
fucking dork bot?
With Taze on Day. TED Talks with Taze on Day.
I'm surprised he hasn't done one yet. But he was talking about how they had a mouse in their lab that they kept trying to like gain weight, and they just could not. It would not gain weight. It would stay at a steady, healthy weight, and they'd finally.
Well, what
like,
is the secret?
Well, he had a genetic deformity in his paws that caused him to lose insane amounts of heat. And they're like, oh, okay, this mouse is just constantly cold. That's horrible. Let's put it out of its misery by snapping its neck.
Didn't you have a girlfriend who used to kill mice for a living?
I still have said girlfriend, and she still does that.
I don't know if her job title is kill mice for a living, though.
Freddie, are we allowed to talk about your girlfriend, or do we have to keep that a secret because it's like we want all the ladies wanting you?
Yeah, it's like the Beatles, they can't know that he's not single.
Well, did you know Jackie Chan? Like, my mom was saying this, like...
he's running away from this as quickly as possible.
No, but Jackie Chan, like, he kept his, like, his relationship status completely anonymous because when he revealed that he was getting married, like, Hong Kong media was like, three people just killed themselves because of this. Like, three women just
Do you think that people will kill themselves now that they've heard you have a girlfriend?
I don't think so.
Alex, we need to cut this girlfriend discussion.
I don't want to be partially responsible for the deaths of nerd girls on Twitter.
Shower, Logan. What were we talking about here?
Oh, my God. What were we talking about?
We're talking about homeopathic solutions. So basically, you know, like.
Well, they're all crap.
Are they? You know.
End discussion.
Let me back up.
Shortest topic we've ever had.
Moving on. Now, let me back up. So I think a lot of them work on the placebo effect. And the placebo effect is incredible. The placebo effect is so powerful that they've done things like they will give somebody a stimulant and tell them it is a depressant, and their body will naturally counteract what the drug will do. It's, the placebo effect is strong enough to actually counter what a drug is supposed to do to you. So it overrides things. It's incredibly powerful. So really what it is it does work if you're dumb enough to believe it works.
But
shiver
it's
effect.
It's working.
I want to talk about
it. Is that not the point?
It totally works.
It works. You know what it is? Works.
You know what it is? I'm just jealous that I'm cynical enough that every time I hear something, I'm like, there's no way this works. And then as a result, I never get the placebo effect. So I never get that free
So for
awesome.
every placebo effect, no, it's definitely 10 to 1. Placebo effect, there's also just not being able to effectively identify what is being effective in a
given
in a,
treatment.
In a given treatment. And then there's like the shiver effect, which they're in the process of trying to basically prove that that is effective. But it seems, at least at this stage, this initial stage, that the shiver effect is a very real thing when you talk about the mice who loses tons of...
Right.
Like, shiver effect is a real thing, right?
Or as far as we know.
As far
well,
as
we
know.
That's science. We need everything ice. Is like, well, we but, have a theory.
And so homeopathic, I'd argue what falls under homeopathic medicine as well is... It's going to be totally for our over 50 audience. The Mediterranean diet is a big thing that just came out. I care about this, guys, because my heart goes at like kickstart your heart like 90 beats per second. Yeah. So I'm basically living on the edge at all times.
90 beats per second?
Yeah. Last time I went to the doctor, they thought I was on meth.
They thought you were
a hummingbird. I had the same result. 100%. They asked if I was on cocaine.
100%. Neither of us are messing with
you. Your doctor looked at you and said, son, are you on cocaine?
Yes.
Mine was a woman because it's the 21st century.
I have a heart condition.
So what? How does this? I don't understand. What homeopathic treatment are you now going to try now that you're a hummingbird?
So I was like, dude, my heart's going crazy. Just like it was
inside the mind of Logan.
Dude.
After he goes to the doctor's office, he sits
hold
in his
Matt,
car
Matt,
and
Matt,
just
Matt,
goes,
Matt, Matt,
dude.
Matt, hold on.
Doctor says my heart's
Matt,
going crazy.
Matt, hold on. We're inside the mind of Logan right now. Hey, I should watch Roadhouse again, Ken. Haven't seen Top Gun in a while. Dude, my heart's going crazy. Wow. Yeah, that's it. I wonder.
I'm going to die right now.
Logan, give us more insight into your mind.
We're going to fast forward to when I actually had an external conversation with my parents. and they're
sometime
like.
Sometime later.
They're like, yo, Logan, you know, if your heart's going crazy, bro. We had a family friend who had a heart, like he had a heart condition that he was going to die in under a year. And he took up Tai Chi and ice cold showers. And I'm like, well, fuck Tai Chi, but I'll take ice cold showers. I'll do this.
That's
and
how so, people and dance around enough. In circles with like urine in a bottle to
yeah.
fix
yeah,
chicken pox or something.
I thought I was referring to things like where you take like a piece of water or like a little thing you put in water and then you dilute it like a million times. And because you've diluted it, it's now stronger in effect.
You know, so explain the let's go ahead and define what homeopathic medicine is. Okay. I thought it was just medicine that's not scientifically proven. That's what I thought the definition was.
We just call it not medicine.
I think so.
So like acupuncture.
Acupuncture has some, they found like, oh, it kind of overrides some nerve pathways.
Sure, and so,
has
ice cold showers. So I've just taken ice cold showers.
Not Googled yet.
No, I Googled. I found
so
that it makes people feel chill.
So yeah, now you take ice cold showers.
Ice cold showers. I take one warm shower a week to like treat myself right, but for the most part, cold showers.
I've actually read something about like there's actually a health effect for just getting that body temperature shift in you. But the problem is your balls shrivel up.
Oh, dude, my shower's angled in such a way that I can't avoid just the ice cold water just pounding my balls. Like, it's like I'm fucking trying to move the shower head and everything, but it just
we have different definitions
takes
of problems,
it,
guys.
Just, it just takes it to my balls. Like, no,
guys, any way you can shrink this massive package that I currently have to live with is
this
a godsend.
This shower is like Rocky Balboa.
This shower is a gift from God.
The problem is, like, you're also, like, because you're ice cold, first of all, it should be noted that all my roommates found out because they just heard me go, like every night, like, what's going
on? Did you explain to them this was a cold shower?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
okay. Good.
And then the other problem is you start flexing out just because you're so cold, right? And you, dude, if you're trying to wash your balls while flexing, like it's just game over.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's how I wash my balls all the time.
You might as well put boxing gloves on and start pounding your.
It just yeah. It was basically it was yeah. It felt like a vice. So, not like a dirty vice, like you know, like a crushing thing.
A clean
like,
vice.
Magic the Gathering vice, not a.
A nerdy vice.
Not Las Vegas Vice.
Wait, a magic?
There's like a card that's like about the vice, and it shows you a picture of what a vice is. That's how I learned what a vice is.
You
I
mean
learned...
like the tool that clamps things?
Oh, I guess there's Home Depot vice too, yeah.
My vice.
But here's my question for you guys. Do you have any homeopathic remedies? Like, do you eat something specifically when you're sick or anything like that?
Well, we're on the subject of showers before we move on quickly. I did try your cold shower technique the morning after we had that conversation.
Dude, fucking don't do the morning. What the fuck's wrong with you?
When I take a shower, I wake up.
You're doing it wrong, Des, you idiot.
Just Christ. The morning you're so cold. You don't need more
cold. It was too cold. And you would... You and Matt told me you take 20-minute showers.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how you have... I don't know how you... time
what
in the day
you,
for a 20-minute shower.
What do you
shower.
Do? 20
you meditate,
minutes.
You think?
And
you
an ice-cold shower, I can do about 15 seconds before
I
get the
hell
out of
there. You put your hands, you clasp your hands, you put it on your chest, and you let it fill up water, and then you let go of it all at once.
What?
I do that.
That's pretty good.
Are you guys taking bubble baths?
I do take bubble baths. Wait, do you guys treat yourselves to baths?
I no. will take my so my
you guys
place,
are not living if you don't
I,
treat yourself.
I would.
A book and a bath.
Really quickly, did I ever tell you about my Valentine's Day bath story?
No.
No, I want to.
No, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Oh, there's too much to be said. I'm going to make it PG for everyone. Basically, I was like, dude,
oh, that's
gonna,
not fun.
Let's take a bath. But oh my.
To who? Who are you talking to?
This is back when I was in college where everybody's you live in filth in college for all you folks who haven't been in college yet.
That's why yes. I haven't taken a bath in many years.
And so I was like, God, I gotta clean this bathtub. You know what? I'm just gonna unload this whole ball of Clorox in here and just leave it
like
there.
Like a gallon.
Like a gallon of Clorox.
Jeez.
And then first of all, not
that's
ventilated.
That's enough to
not
melt
ventilated.
A corpse.
Yeah, not ventilated. And then I'm like, okay,
the water
now,
down.
Now I'll just sprinkle the bathtub and surely all the Clorox is gone.
Oh, jeez.
And so I more or less took a watered-down Clorox.
And that's how I spent Valentine's Day.
Yeah, everybody was itchy after. But anyways.
Everybody?
Everybody.
Who all was there?
My girlfriend and me.
Okay. So everybody's
time.
Usually used for more than
so
two
she
people.
Everybody's like a lot.
It's like a lot of people.
Like a gaggle of friends.
We were all bathing
together.
Me and my girlfriend had sex. Everybody had a good time.
That doesn't make sense.
It's a big tub. I don't want it to go to waste. It's a big tub.
She trusts
everybody. Had a good time. I'm gonna just start using that.
I can't believe she trusted you to do this mechanical task of like rinsing out a. Well,
you probably didn't tell her beforehand. Like, hey, this was gross, I just Clorox this.
To
we're
be
good.
Fair, the man should have some know-how. Not expect to get into a tub and melt from an excess of Clorox bleach.
Well, and then also to be fair, I remember one time this is who we're talking about. We had a game where I'd been living with Logan for a while, so we had a game with like Logan asked a question, and then we would both answer to see who knew Logan better. And I actually beat her, even though I had been living with Logan like less time than he had been going out with her.
To be fair, we lived together for a long time.
So in regards to baths, though, like the place where I'm at, the bath is like shockingly large. Like it's to the point where it's like,
dude, I've wanted to use your bath. When I've used your bath, I'm like, I could probably just take a dip in this.
It's
bathtub.
A nice looking
is,
tub.
Like
yeah.
If you lay down, like it is like it's probably like what 3.5 feet deep. Like mm-hmm. you can float in it. Mm. It's like a little mini pool inside mm. there. So I do a bath pretty much every day.
So I play some Nintendo DS and read some books in the bath.
Fred, you take a bath every day?
Hell yeah.
And we take a bath every day?
Wait,
dude,
yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
I wish. You're like a fucking...
Dude, and not only that, you're ready for this,
That's where Fred, that's where
wait,
he's
wait.
At.
You were getting mad about 20-minute showers. Clearly you take more than...
That's where Freddy's at when he's
well,
not responding to our various emails and texts.
Well, let's back
he's
up
in the
saying.
Bath.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I don't understand what you do for 20 minutes in a shower. I understand taking 20 minutes in the bath.
Freddy, do you have like a bath, like, do you have like bath soaps? Do you like fucking...
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. You're ready for this?
That's just legit.
Dude,
like bath salts and stuff?
Dude, I'll do bath salts. I'll go to Lush, and I'll get, like, the little, like, bars that you
dude, when I walk into Freddy's bathroom, I look at his bathtub, it's, like, the only place I want to be when I look at it. It has everything on when I look at it.
I'm going to put a picture of my bathtub up on the website so people can see
Freddy,
what it's
I've got this, like, wood thing that I ended up buying for my girlfriend, but it doesn't quite fit in our bathtub. You have to, like, rig it in a way for it to work.
Oh, the little crossbar.
Yeah, it's a crossbar that goes over the bathtub. It's wood. You can put it as, like, a fucking slot for a wine glass and, like, a book support. It's like, that's all you need for the rest of your life is in that thing. It's amazing.
Freddy, I think I know what you... Oh, these two gentlemen for their birthdays.
I'm gonna make little vouchers, like little
bath tickets.
Little perfumed bath tickets, where it's like done in like a nice like handwritten calligraphy.
But what you're
font.
Gonna have to do is in the middle of their bath, come in and give them a massage. And just like totally.
Why
cool.
do I have to do this?
Sign me up.
So anyway, my bathtub is amazing, and I take advantage of it constantly.
I would too.
I mean, you have a nice tub. I can see that. Definitely. I don't have a nice tub. Not, I don't want to spend
any. We're just bros
any,
talking about each other's tubs.
I don't want to spend nice any, tub, bro, any more time deal. In my tub than I have to. To be honest, I get in, I get out, and that's it.
But Des, you live in a new place. You don't got a stellar tub to go with that place?
It's not a stellar tub. It's clean. I keep it clean.
Is it just your tub?
I use a cap full of bleach.
Is it just
not
your tub?
Not a gallon. It's clean, but I'm not gonna spend any time in it.
You share that tub?
Do I share the tub?
Is like with Benji?
Not at the same time.
No,
yeah, I live with my brother Benji, and we do take showers in the same tub, the one tub in our apartment.
But at different times. The place is the same. The time is different.
I've heard that differently while walking by.
I could only tub in a personal tub. I wouldn't want to share that.
Oh, yeah, tub. I like that tub is a verb.
How could you not use somebody else's bathtub?
Because God knows what they do in there, dude.
Who cares? It's a bathtub.
I care because I'm going to put my butt on that. On that
but it's a soapy bum.
Yeah.
It's not a filthy bum. It's a soapy
it's
bum.
It's porcelain.
It's kind of really weird. I don't know. I did not foresee this getting this weird.
Made it weird when he said he couldn't use a bathtub that anybody else has ever used.
Yeah, like it's like it's not like bathtubs aren't like teapots. They don't get like seasoned by like the tea that you put in over time.
It's not like sponge or cheesecloth that just absorbs every bum that's been attached to it.
It's so strange.
Oh yeah. So I actually I've also gotten into like really like specific soaps. Like I don't know. It's like the girliest thing that I do. But like,
can we talk about a soap in specific?
A soap in specific, yes.
Cetaphil.
Logan.
This is a new
what? Cetaphil. Yeah,
what about? Oh,
yeah.
Cetaphil.
When I wrestled in high school, we used Cetaphil.
So it's like I feel like everybody and their mom now uses Cetaphil, which I guess is like the most neutral of soaps.
Yeah, well, I used to do the I have eczema, which is a skin condition characterized by dry.
I am sorry for you.
Ew. Oh man.
I hope you get better.
Cut the podcast. Stop.
Matt, remind me to pick up some cards on the way home from the gas tonight.
People have eczema, guys.
Really quickly.
So
Freddy,
my doctor would.
I also have eczema.
Well, my doctor would recommend that you use Cetaphil for.
Guys, I too have eczema.
Really quickly, I do have eczema, and I have a solution for you, Freddy, if yours does not work.
Googled it.
I have tea tree oil. Topical creams, and also don't. I mean, don't live in dry places.
No. So this was here's what changed
Make
my
your
life.
Your moisturizing lotion pink,
ladies. Tune in to the Rock and Jump podcast now on rockandjump.com.
Cetaphil,
the home of Cetaphil and tea tree oil coupons.
Loofahs.
Logan presents loofahs.
Fucking loofahs, bro. I started loofah.
I always use loofahs.
This podcast started with a film discussion. We've ended with loofahs.
I'm just telling you, man.
Dude, loofahs for life.
They're
them for
just,
years.
They really fucking exfoliate. You know,
they do a good job of what they're supposed to do.
Oh my gosh!
So look, if you. Those things start making. If you just think of them as tools for your body, don't think of them as lotions. They're tools,
you guys,
for your body.
I go in. I take a shower. I don't take a
Burt's
bath.
Bees.
I step into my shower. I'm in there for like 3 minutes.
Des does a military shower.
I rub a bar of Irish Spring all over my hair.
He turns the water on. I drip dry. He turns the water on. He turns it off to conserve water. He soaps himself up. In the soapy state, he turns the water back on to rinse it off. He'll use soap in his hair because that's how efficient he is.
Burt's Bees is just John Deere for your body.
You know what?
It's just a tool. That you use to maximize your body.
I think Bats got onto something. There needs to be a fucking DeWalt brand loofah.
Yeah.
Like bright yellow.
Like a power
bright
loofah.
Yellow with a fucking black string.
You just
maybe
buff
with
it
a
out.
Motorized spinner on it. We're going to get some fucking bros loofing.
Just buff it out.
I think they do already.
And guys, I think all
Is
of you
like
out there.
Is this like an orbital buffer that they use for like cars?
Exactly.
Apply to your own body.
I think everybody out there owes us their bath stories. So if you got a bath tip.
You need to stop promising people things on Twitter. Every podcast, I've been going through these. Every podcast has at some point Logan be like, the first person to tweet this at Matt gets this. You're writing checks we can't cash, Logan.
As long as it's checks I don't have to cash, I'm fine.
That's why we're in the financial crisis that we're in.
So I want to jump from homeopathy. You got something, Freddie? Because
no,
I got something.
I don't. I want
Do we even talk about homeopathy once this entire time?
No.
Nah.
No, I don't think so. No.
But,
that's how it works.
That's how it works.
I want to talk about I probably should hold this up to somebody else to pronounce.
Okay.
We fucking did Latin.
Ex Libris?
Libris? Have you guys heard about these
Libris?
Things?
No, what is it?
Ex Libris. They're also known as book plates.
Okay.
So back in the day when you had expansive libraries, I guess you'd actually get – they're called book stamps. They're more – they're stamps. Mm-hmm. Let's fucking call them for what they are. But you get personalized to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I have one of those. My grandma got me one.
No shit?
Yeah, I stamped the inside like
so what,
page
what,
of my
what
book.
Is it? What is it?
Just,
what does it
like? Says like the property of the library of Matthew fucking Arnold or whatever. It's
Matthew fucking Arnold.
Your grandma got me that.
Your grandma carved
my grandma
the word.
Got me that shit.
Graham,
tools for my body.
Graham got me carved the word fucking in.
Graham Arnold got me one of those fucking library stamps. Libris. No, but they just crease the paper into like a stamp. Mm-hmm. Essentially, and it says your name. It says like Library of Matt Arnold.
Yeah.
So hold on, real quick.
Were they a big deal now?
Can we just say real quick what is in the Library of Matt Arnold? Really quick, a worn copy of Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, all the Harry Potters, well thumbed through.
Definitely all the Harry Potters.
And
some Percy Jackson going on in there.
Three
some game
of
design
the books.
This is vaguely insulting.
I'm just trying to figure out what. Because Matt,
I am
not
reading a novel for the first time since. I guess Harry
what
Potter.
Novel?
No. I read John Green's Fault in Our Stars. I'm reading our Orphan Master's Son, which is that. It's like the big novel this year. It's about it's about North Korea.
Would you say it's a New York Times bestseller?
I believe it was
number one on the charts.
I don't know. I don't follow the.
Someone
charts
is gonna
bestseller.
Have to fact check that because I don't know if I believe
but
it.
But I was gonna tell Freddie about it. By the way, it is a just pitching out there. It's a pretty amazing book. It's like a spy love story sort of thing.
Is
somewhere.
It cooler than Ender's Game?
Crap I love
favorite,
Ender's Game.
Crowd favorite, oh, crowd yeah. favorite.
I love Ender's Game.
I actually heard.
Anyways, you should read it. It feels like 1984. It's like a dystopian society, but it's just about North Korea and this guy did
incredible
research
yeah.
on North Korea. It's insane. Thus far, I'm only like 80
mine,
pages into it.
I have a friend of mine who actually told me that. And I don't know if this is true or not, but she's an author, and she's like, actually, the New York Times bestseller list. You just need to. It's based on like how many you sell in a week or something. So
you just
you
buy
actually,
a bunch of your own copies.
Well, it's like you don't actually need to sell that many. And I think it was something like 3,000 or something will get you onto the New York Times bestseller. Which,
that's
you know,
it.
Like, well, yeah. It's like your first response is like that's it, but then you think about the bookstore. Think about somebody walking up to your book and going to the. Yeah. You know, so it's like
well, it's Amazon now.
Well, yeah, but here's the point though. I think if we play our cards right, guys, we could all just put out like a 100-page novella.
Look, Freddie, we know if you wrote a book, you could put it on the New York Times bestseller.
No, I think we all could.
Freddie, I will
if
shadow.
You, if you tweeted it,
no,
I will shadow write your book if you give me a cut.
If you say, but then you get to say forever every time you someone.
I don't want
you
to shadow write it. I want a book to be called Freddie Wong by Logan Olson.
It's going
the book.
Freddie,
I would read that book.
I'm gonna be honest. It's gonna be a Harlequin romance novel. I hope you're okay with that.
I'm writing the afterword. I call dibs.
And then I want Logan Olson. By Freddie Wong.
Well, we should write a book.
It's a companion series.
Well, exactly. I would write a book called How to Get on the New York Times Bestseller List.
And then, that'd probably be an instant. You could do that once. That could be one of those ideas that everybody's like, I should have done
that. Number
one.
Yeah, that's it. That's the name of the book.
There's
how some, to get
there's
number
someone listening to this cast right now going, oh, man, I'm going to beat him to
I mean, not
punch.
Right now. We're recording it right now.
Oh, well. Jesus.
There's somebody right now.
Space-time continuums. My brain's melting. Yeah,
so the book would be called How to Get to the Number One New York Times. How to Get Number One the New York Times Bestseller List. And it's just a single page. And it's just like this. And that's it. That's the whole novel.
I forget who. I don't know why. But the funniest tweet I've seen in ages. I think Brian retweeted it. It was a 5-second film guy. It was, these two books contain the entirety of all information in the universe.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
It was things you learn at Harvard Business School. And the guy, then it was things you don't learn at Harvard Business School.
No, things they don't teach you at Harvard Business School.
He was on Reddit, yeah.
Oh, man. So, anyway, we could all be New York Times bestsellers.
We could.
Let's do it. I was just thinking about that, actually.
That's the challenge.
How you
that's
want,
the challenge.
Because here's the thing about
by
that
by the time
one.
You listen to this podcast, we
here's
will
here's the thing about that one.
We'll be knee-deep into our first
that's the
pamphlet.
Equivalent of getting knighted, because everyone says Sir blank. You know, he's always like, oh, no, sorry, it's Sir Matt Arnold or whatever it is. But with
do
New York
people
Times
really call you Sir?
I don't know. But the New York Times bestseller one, every time you're introduced, it has to be with the prefix New York Times bestselling author blank. You know what I mean? It's like you have that forever. It's like it's the
it's
easiest way of getting like one of those. It's, in fact, it should be something that you get in a drop down menu when you're like filling out forms online. It has something
Mr.
Like,
Mrs.
Mrs.
New York Times bestselling author.
Nobel Prize nominee. Like, yeah, exactly. Nobel Prize winner.
Junior.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, What were we talking about?
Talking about book plates,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, book plates.
So yeah, wait, what did you want to talk about? They stamped your name on a book.
That's Logan's whole thing. You heard of those? Yeah.
Well, they it entered the news recently because they found Einstein's. They found Einstein's Ex Libris / book plate, and it's bad ass.
like how badass?
It's like a fucking super god on top of a mountain reaching towards the stars. Like, it just, if whoever's out there, like, Google Einstein book plate or Einstein Ex Libris, and you'll see this thing.
So you should probably, like, sell that with, like, but you can put your own name on it.
Well, so here's my question for you, because an Ex Libris can be anything. Like, I think traditionally it was just, like, you know, like, birds or fucking squirrels or some shit holding a ribbon.
Or some dude carving a dong into the, yeah.
Well, it's always, you know, it's usually the words written, Ex Libris, Matt Arnold,
yeah.
Or something.
I think mine was, like, the Earth or something. Yeah. Like, and it's like a circle.
And so I had no idea you could make them fucking whatever you like. They're more or less like patches, right? Like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. So here's my question to, because Freddie's tweeting, like, he's fucking texting or some bullshit.
No, I'm looking at it's pretty majestic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Okay, it's way cooler than mine.
So here's my question to you guys. Matt already has one, so he's disqualified. What would your Ex Libris be? What would your fucking play be?
Well, I didn't have a choice in mine.
So it would probably be the Wong coat of arms, which I designed in high school and I continue to use to this day, which is two dragons looking at each other, soloing on Gibson Explorer guitars while breathing fire.
How like they're looking at each other.
They're looking at each other while soloing.
I was really hoping looking at each other is gonna be followed by and kissing.
And they're breathing fire into a rad shield.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
This was cool in high school and it's still cool now, okay? 10 years ago.
Okay. All right. I think it's cool. Okay.
Do you have a coat of arms? I was into coat of arms when I was like a
no,
kid.
I completely photoshopped this. But here's the thing. Who says I can't have a coat of arms? I'm Asian. I got a coat of arms now.
Who says I can't have a coat of arms?
Who
I'm
says?
Asian.
Show me. I can do whatever I want. I'm Asian. Whatever.
How about you, Des?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Like a hamburger eating itself. I don't know.
That you can see, you can feel his heart rate increase just from a simple question.
When you ask me that,
yeah,
a hamburger eating itself.
I don't know. Like you said, Einstein's the most. Einstein's the most majestic thing ever. And then Freddy's is like a fucking. It's like fucking Slash on a unicorn, like butt fucking 12 virgins riding over a fucking rainbow. Wait, and there's like just like heaven and earth raining below him. And you're like, Des, what do you want? I don't know.
I mean, you just made yours right there.
Okay, okay. This is a contest. We are making Des's Ex Libris. We need designs.
Freddy, stop writing checks. We can't cash.
We are going to cash this. We're cashing this one. Make design. Somebody design a hamburger eating itself. And we will make this in all of Des's books.
If you make the coolest hamburger eating itself, I will stamp every book in
my
library.
Every time it says directed by Des Dolan, it needs to be after it. It needs to be your symbol for whatever's the best hamburger eating itself.
That's the logo for my production company.
Des, when you fucking, of all the fill the blanks for eating itself, you chose the fucking roundest shit. The hardest thing to eat itself.
Exactly.
Right, so you couldn't even say fucking hot dog.
No.
You had to fucking choose.
No, guys, it's a hamburger. Not a hot dog.
I think we're going to get something
amazing. Hamburger.
We could get something amazing from this.
If it's as amazing as you're now leading me to believe, not only will I stamp Ex Libris into all of my books in my library, I will use it
as
a header for my production company logo on at least one film.
I foresee nobody fucking knowing what they're looking at when they look at this thing.
Well, he won't choose if it doesn't look awesome.
Right,
well,
no, it has to, I mean, you know. We,
it has
we
to
will,
read. It's got to read right away.
We'll
it's like, it's going to be, like, you know, like J.R. Tolkien had, like, his own, like crest and, like, thing
sure.
that he did?
Yeah.
This is going to
sure,
be Des's. It's
going to
be a hamburger eating itself.
I mean,
what's yours, Logan? Yeah.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, like, doing something creative. But to be honest, actually,
it was a hamburger eating itself.
I actually have already two stamps.
What are you talking about?
I have two stamps, guys. This is why you brought this up.
And put you guys on the spot here, but I've clearly thought about this and executed two stamps to completion.
No. I actually did not occur to me until about halfway through Freddy's. I've actually had two stamps made for me, both in China. Oddly, and one from Freddie.
Oh yeah, it was a gift.
Yeah, so Freddie actually made me a stamp, and
it's romantic.
It's yeah.
Why did I get you that?
Because you're friendly, I guess.
Freddie in the tub blowing your kisses.
No. I remember why.
Blowing me kisses.
We were emailing and you randomly said, like, dude, give me a stamp. I was like, all right, I'll see how much this costs. This costs almost nothing. I was okay. All right.
So it was me throwing me when I was 20, maybe, throwing like metal horns. And cool. I think it says Logan on it. It's like me throwing metal horns with Logan. Yours. And then actually have Logan also written as a... Is it kanji when you're talking about Chinese?
No, good God!
Kanji, and that's Japanese.
Okay, what is it in Chinese?
Whoa.
Pictographs? What's the term?
Chinese characters.
Well, what do they say? Call it in Chinese? Clearly in China, they don't call it Chinese characters.
And now we enter the racist portion of our podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Have we entered that part?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, right, that we was go. It.
Wait, can we get like a sweet announcement for it? Like,
no, we ended that the moment you named our beer at the beginning of the podcast.
I don't even want to repeat it now.
We'll bleep it. Negro Modelo.
Negro Modelo.
Just keep beeping everything we're saying right now as we're talking, so it feels like phrase is like really horrific.
Big,
at the beginning.
Fat,
you
fucking...
Alex, you literally don't have to do any of that.
So anyways, no, Freddie.
Alex just says wasn't planned.
Freddie got me a stamp with myself on it, so I could use that, or I could use my girlfriend also went to China and also gave me a stamp.
That's
as
a
well,
little FG, weird.
That you and my girlfriend both gave me stamps from China, or
yeah.
That she got me a stamp
from
China?
Have you used either of them once?
Yes, just to demonstrate it to others.
Yep, I got my girlfriend like a wax seal thing. I thought it would be like.
Pretty cool,
cool
right?
Present. Pretty cool. Like, maybe she'll send letters and fucking wax seal them now. Who does that? She used it once to... Oh, this is really nice.
Yeah,
I've never seen it used.
That's the problem with majestic old things is you find that you actually don't
There's a reason we don't use them.
Like film.
Yeah. So,
like
anyways.
Film.
Full circle?
Bring it
back. We just brought it back. Circle. We should just end it there.
one of those is probably what I would use, though, is one of my two stamps I already...
Wait, what was your girlfriend's stamp? What was it?
It's Logan in Chinese characters, not kanji.
Wait, so you have your girlfriend stamping everything Logan?
She gave me the stamp. Okay. In both cases, you just...
I like the idea that she's stamping everything with your name.
No, that'd be amazing. She, apparently, if you just approach old men in China, they'll carve stamps for you, I guess, is China.
Any old man in China.
It's a cottage industry.
So how would I commission my hamburger eating itself?
Well, first we need the design.
You need to design it.
The thing is, none of this is creative. You don't go to and ask for Blue Sky. You come with, like... A vector
is,
image,
okay.
And you're like, make me this.
And
the Chinese man goes, oh, yes, a vector image.
Oh, yes.
It's a Vijit.
It's like, oh, no, I don't work with TIFF. I need JPEG.
Oh, man.
Wow, this got really racist.
This is offensive.
Really
yeah.
Let me ask you something. Is it offensive?
Kind of
is it offensive that the Chinese people have the most hilarious accent? And this is like, to be
totally
honest.
That's not offensive. You saying that is what's offensive.
Oh, I see.
Them having their accent.
Is it offensive that they're hilarious? No. It's you.
I mean, is that more offensive?
You thinking it's hilarious.
I'm sorry. The Southern Chinese accent is objectively the funniest accent.
Is it really the funniest, though?
It is.
What makes it so funny?
I don't know.
Certain German accents are pretty funny.
German
podcast access? Where Germans got really angry at Logan.
They did.
Yes.
That's
early on, yeah.
Yeah.
I learned you can't badmouth people
on this
podcast.
And they probably badmouthed you in a really funny accent.
In the German accent.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is there anyone else we want to trash before wrapping up this podcast?
Alex, what time are we at?
We've been talking for a while.
Alex is an hour five in.
Holy crap,
so
we apologize for this long podcast.
Freddie, Dez, Matt, Lauren.
Logan.
Lauren is in here filming us for a second channel announcement.
You've been standing up for an hour and a half.
Hey, Lauren.
I mean, hour and 5 minutes.
Because God forbid you stand for more than an hour. That's just,
an hour and a half? Are you kidding me?
Is there like a specific topic or question you guys want to go out on?
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, that's heavy, man.
Freddie, you said you came here with subjects. I have yet to hear one other than 48 frames per second.
Let me pull up my text file.
We'll do a quick little
subjects.
Lightning round.
We've already posed like 4 challenges for Twitter. Yeah. This week, right?
I only post one.
Should we recap
fair.
Them? Let's at least recap the challenges.
That assumes you remember them.
I remember the stamp. What's your other topic?
Remember?
Oh, the other one was how much I really like sushi.
That's your topic?
That's a topic?
That's not top. We'll talk about that next time.
Apparently,
we'll save that great topic for next time.
Apparently,
none
Freddy
of you look
really
forward
like
to.
And not sushi.
I
Freddy
can't wait.
Liking sushi.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Is the topic.
Well, no, it's a whole like sushi culture and how like it's one. Okay, forget it. Okay. Get into it.
Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Yeah.
It's a good documentary.
So, guys, what's your favorite type of gun? Let's go with that. Try that one on.
I'll just say the FAL.
Why? What is that even?
It is a rifle.
What does it stand for?
Fabrique Automatique Nationale. Well, it's a.
You switched into an accent there for a second.
Ooh. Actually, I don't know what stands for. That's a good question. It's a rifle. It's pretty much like the Western version of the AK. It's a very versatile rifle that's been used throughout for a very long time.
What makes you so amped about it?
It's just an interesting gun to follow the history of it. That's all. It's a weapon that is a gateway into conflict history.
Des, what's your favorite sort of gun?
It stands for Fusil Automatique Léger, light automatic rifle. It's made by Fabrique Nationale, which is a Belgian gun company.
Mm. Okay. I haven't really thought about it, Logan. I don't have a go-to answer. One that comes to mind, it's probably a really impractical weapon, but I think it looks pretty badass. It's the one Arnold Schwarzenegger's carrying in Terminator 2 when he walks through the glass doors after destroying Cyberdyne systems. That big...
The Gatling gun?
The big gas. So the big gas launcher. It launches those...
the grenade launcher thing?
Yeah, it launches like gas grenades. They're not explosive devices, but that's a pretty powerful looking weapon.
Matt, your favorite gun?
It's going to be the gun from Borderlands.
Han Solo's blaster.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna
fan favorite.
Or double RCP-90s from GoldenEye.
I'm gonna go.
I like
ahead.
That Matt went straight for the video game route.
Oh, you know what? At one time, though,
what does this say about us?
What? Like Matt went straight for the video game route. Des went straight for the movie gun, and then I went straight for the kind of weird.
I mean, it's
real...
pretty clear what it says.
I was getting. Well, my runner up is the double gold Desert Eagles from Face Off.
Ooh,
those are 1911s.
Okay. No, they're the gold guns from Desert Eagle. I mean, from Face Off.
The gold face off.
Desert Eagle. John Travolta.
Logan, your favorite gun.
I want to reverse a second really quickly. Han Solo's blaster has a scope on it, right?
Yes.
You didn't know. You don't know.
No, it does. It has. I know exactly what it looks like.
You had to think about it. Okay.
So, no, I was thinking.
Well, because I wasn't, to be fair, he never uses the scope, so I don't know.
Yeah,
so it actually is a scope.
Maybe that shot by Star Wars where he's like aiming up, squinting
one eye.
But the shape
of it, there's a scope on it. I just don't know if it's actually a... I would probably know 10 years ago when I was a kid when I knew all that shit.
Every once in a while you see a scope on a pistol.
Hilarious.
What is that about?
It's like a sporting thing. It's like for hunting. They'll put it on Desert Eagle. They'll put it on like a big magnum.
Do they use it?
Well, they'll use it for like hunting.
So.
Like they'll do it for like a big revolver.
So
we'll do a scope sometimes.
I was like, how the fuck do you use this? And so, my best guess, I have a feeling you know the answer, but I'm going to tell you what my best guess is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay,
is that you use it like iron sights, where you use it at arm's length, and it's just the focal length of the lens inside that. Scope is designed to basically a very accurate iron sight that you don't have to worry about lining up the front and back.
No,
iron sights
actually,
on.
A lot of them will have a front handle that you put your cheek weld right next to it. No, of course you hold it out in front of you. Yes, of course.
No, so that is a scope.
That is how you do it.
But it is a scope. Guns. It's specific. It is a scope that works at arm's length.
Yes, it's a low magnification scope usually if they bother to do it.
That's wild.
That's pretty crazy.
And on that incredibly wild, crazy note, we
didn't say
Logan's. I didn't say, Logan's,
I didn't say
Logan's
my favorite gun.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, your favorite gun then.
Find out next time.
Oh no! Come on.
No.
Yeah. You're not getting off that easy.
No, you gotta tell us your favorite gun.
No,
so wait, let's guess.
Oh, Logan's favorite gun. The knife that Jack Burton carries in Big Trouble in Little China.
It's going to be some stupid joke about his biceps.
Or his dick.
Or the sawed-off shotgun from Army of Darkness. Anything. Anywhere.
All right, let's see it.
Are we getting close?
Matt's not doing a guess.
I did.
What was it?
I said a joke about your dick. I said something that Kurt Russell used.
Thanks, guys.
Logan no longer joining us on the Face Burner podcast.
So, we've broken you down to a caricature.
Either bicep or your dick. You know, if you guys,
that is essentially what picking your favorite gun is.
Really quickly, if you guys identify my dick and my bicep as guns, I think I'm chill. Like that works out pretty well.
Logan, those weren't insults.
So Matt nailed it.
So specifically, I when I was younger, I loved Desert Eagles.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I was actually going to go for a toy gun initially here, but I decided not to. So
Which
I was going to say the Nerf one with the chain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty badass, right?
Yeah.
But to be honest with you,
okay.
the coolest gun I ever saw. Please be honest, Logan.
I can imagine so many 12 to 15 year olds in sweaty anticipation here on the edge of their seats.
I wish we had announced this at the beginning of the podcast.
I avenged my mother's
really quickly. Last week we actually we recorded the beginning of the podcast at the end, so there's no reason we can't do that. Sorry, Alex. The coolest gun I ever saw, and to this day, you're close actually, Dez.
Yeah,
is in Tombstone, Arizona. The location of the OK Corral shootout with Wyatt Earp, featured in both the Tombstone movie and the Wyatt Earp movie.
Two movies.
And mentioned as the pizza company.
Correct. Yes. And also, if you live in Los Angeles, the Gene Autry Museum has a life-size scale replica of the OK Corral featuring mannequins in this weird spotlight interactive
really?
Thing. Yeah, it's weird. If you go there, it's weird. They have a whole room of just different cult pistols that have been like modified into art pistols. It's more or less like the art pistol gallery room. Go there if you guys live in Los Angeles. Anyways.
And are a gun nut.
Well, they also have like a sweet like gold mining in like thing, and you can learn about.
Tell me what your favorite gun is.
It's a gun knife. So it is a.
I had a feeling it wasn't
from
a gun
Final Fantasy
at all.
VIII, yeah. The gun knife.
It actually is an anime too, but the first one I saw was at the Tombstone in their gun shop there. It's a like a machete, but the top of the machete, like if you think of a blade, it's gonna be really hard to describe this over only with voice.
Paint a picture with your words, Logan.
Here we go. So with a knife, you have one cutting edge.
Yes.
Normally, right?
Yes.
And in this case, one flat edge, and that flat edge arcs up near the end to form a barrel, and so you're shooting off of the non-cutting edge of the knife.
Okay. I've seen those. I've seen. Pistols with knives on them. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's just kind of awesome. Like, whoa, this is really violent.
If you missed.
Well, I think the idea is you stab.
And shoot.
You stab and shoot, like, simultaneously,
or
right?
Or if you shot.
Double trouble.
If you shot them to kill them in revenge, but it still didn't satisfy your bloodlust,
you can walk up on them.
Decimate their body.
50 yards
but,
out.
But there's something to be said for
them.
For the stab
a bunch.
For the stab, and they're like, you got me. And you're like,
oh, no.
Shapow. Because that's the noise a gun makes.
Shapow.
That's what we should end with.
Shapow.
So.
Thrilling, vaguely disturbing note, we sputter to an end of yet another face for our podcast.
Hashtag Shapow.
Can we base shift this one? Shapow.
No, that's going to sound exactly like it.
It sounds
we're not
just
doing
as you said
any
it.
Base shifting. Thank you, guys.
Can we add sound effects to it?
Join us next week for another thrilling installment.
Who's ever editing the Shapow?
Rocker Podcast. We're on iTunes.
Shapow.
Do a search. Add us to it. Shapow. Like us. Rate us. All that stuff. Thanks again, guys.
Shapow.